Welcome to The Simulation, hosted by Synthetic Esports. Today we have two guests. We have Ferme from SCS and Rigel from SCS. Great to have you.
How you guys doing
awesome
today?
Thanks for having us. Great, AJ. How about you?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, Ferme?
Oh, hey, man. Chilling. We're vibing. We're having a good time. Thanks for having us.
So these two guys are the league directors, correct me if I'm wrong, at SCS. What do you guys both handle at SCS? So Ferme, what do you do? And Rigel, what do you do?
Well, I manage graphics, all the music I've written as well. I do all the production at the moment. I do more like business perspective of things as well. There's just like, I don't know, that's hard to pinpoint exactly.
Are you
like
more of the creative visionary?
Yeah, I would say so myself. I mean, like, it's really hard to pinpoint that, like, you know, the concrete boundary between what I do and what Rigel does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just kind of do things together and manage between ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rigel can also add to that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good flow, I'd say, between what Ferme and I do. I mean, he's definitely got more of the technical skill with, like, Photoshop and, you know, music composition and those sort of things. So he handles pretty much all of that. But yeah, like what I do is we call it quote unquote like PR. So I do a lot of reaching out to teams, players, potential sponsors, handle the social media, the Twitch account as well. Most of the time is me.
Mm-hmm.
So doing all that sort of stuff. But in addition, I also observe, I help out with HR things. It's just sort of all over the place, honestly. Like me and May both handle a lot of like responsibility for the league, and we have a couple other directors as well that help delegate some of those tasks.
So. Yeah, so you divide it up, I guess, between the two of you.
Yeah.
That's pretty good then. So today we'll be talking about just a few basic topics. We have your early gaming lives and careers, how you got into gaming, your favorite games, different things like that. We'll transition that into Siege Esports, your careers in that. And we'll talk a bit more in depth about SCS, and then maybe at the end we'll talk about outside of esports, and we'll do a little bit of closing. That's good with you guys.
Sounds good.
All right, yeah, so I guess we'll kick this off. Ferme, what was your first game? When did you start playing video games?
Damn, dude, throw me back, dude. Okay, Tarzan, my guy. Like, there's this Tarzan game? Okay, hold on. Let me look me up. Tarzan, dude. Okay, so I was a kid. You probably know I'm from Russia. And for me, when we got the computer in Russian, it's called computer games. Okay. Oh my god, hold up. I'm looking it up. Tarzan. Why is the top search, is Tarzan a boy or a girl? Why is that a thing?
I guess yes. He's got long hair. I don't know.
It's a boy. Okay, so there's this old game called Tarzan. Has to be Tarzan game. Hold up. Oh, no, I'm really dedicated now. I gotta find it. Disney Tarzan. There we go. Release date, June 29, 1999. Oh my god. So that was my first game. I remember my mother bought it for me, and I played it religiously, and she played it for me. I don't know. It was like the really appealing game. And then we bought speakers for my computer. We finally were able to listen to the music in that game. And oh my god, it was just mind-blowing for like my four-year-old brain. But I haven't really played online until maybe I was like 16 years old. Because just like I moved from Russia to Canada at 15. And I didn't really have a chance to play online games back in Russia. Just because based on my location. I came from like very... know, interior place where not much going on. Yeah, I played like all sorts of games because in Russia all the games are pirated anyways, and I got to play like quite a bit of games. My favorite was Portal 2, obviously. Why did I say obviously? There's no point to say obviously, but I really liked Portal 2. Max Payne ad series also captivated me. I played a lot of GTAs as well, but favorite of Max Payne. And when Max Payne 3 came out in 2012, that was like my all-time favorite back then. But age of I think 14, I picked up CS. I started like in Gold Nova, and I just really liked the game for some reason. It just really appealed to me, and I grinded up to Supreme Master First Class. And then started playing ESEA, Face It, and then in 2015, when Siege came out, I transitioned because, I don't know, CS, yikes, Exactly, right? CS kind of became boring a little bit to me, just a little bit repetitive, because it's just like, all right, well, I know what I'm doing every round. I know how the economy works. I know what I'm, you know, it's just very scripted. Every single match is pretty much the same. The only difference, like, do I win this gunfight or do I not? Like, that's the only variable. Yeah. Because I know exactly what I'm going to do if I lose the round, if I win this round. I knew my next three rounds ahead of time. Just because of this experience with the game. And then when I transitioned to Siege, I noticed that like there's so many variables that the game is completely unpredictable and you need to really plan out round by round what you're going to do. And there's no economy in Siege. So that's what I liked about it as well.
Yeah.
But again, it comes in with downsides because, you know, knowing the economy also increases the skill ceiling. That's what I really like because I can just read the enemy very well. But when in Siege, you cannot do that. But yeah, that's kind of like the way I got into Siege. I played competitive throughout the beta, first season, and then in season two, Skull Reign, I had to quit to do my university. Mm-hmm. And then I came back in Grim Sky, but very casually. I played casually during my university to kind of keep my game knowledge up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely came back in March. Yeah, and I tried to get back to competitive. I didn't really find my niche, and I found my niche at SCS. That's where I kind of landed. And
that's safe to say you kind of originated on PC?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I never was a console gamer. I played some Call of Duty, you know, on Xbox, that type of jazz, but never stuck with a console. Really, like, 144 FPS for me is just, like, was such a breakthrough that I can't go back to consoles after that.
You can't go back to the 30 on console. So tough.
Oh, yeah. And Xbox 360 was only, what, 30 FPS? Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Geez.
It's cringe. Yeah.
Rigel, what about you? Where did you originate? What was your
story? Oh, man. Well, before that, I actually do want to say it's actually kind of funny. I was such a bad competitive Siege player that Ferme quit and became a coach. Like, that. It was... No, I'm just kidding. But in any case, yeah, I'll get to that in a little bit. But basically, first console for me, because I started out on consoles, but when I was a, like, a kid, 4 or 5, parents got a GameCube. And I never really did much else with Nintendo, but that thing was so fun. We played Muppet Party Cruise, which is this, like, it's almost like the equivalent of, like, a mini game, sort of arcade game thing. Really cool, really fun. That was my first ever sort of video game. Once I got a little bit older, though, got the Xbox 360. Really didn't have a PC, had never touched it before. Started playing a lot of Halo, COD, things like that on console. I just kept upgrading, got the Xbox One. I tried Rainbow Six, but actually at first glance, I got it right when the game fully released for console. So it was still sort of that old Siege that we know and love or hate, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I sort of stopped with it and never came back. And I said, yeah, this isn't the game for me. But eventually got my PC. And this was a couple of years ago. Like, my PC was pretty bad. I had still built it myself, but it was old. And so I tried getting back into Rainbow Six Siege during Grim Sky. And my PC actually burnt out. So I had to play on a laptop for probably a year before I could actually afford to get another PC, which is the one that I have right now. So it was kind of interesting trying to play Siege on a laptop. Mm-hmm. Where you were only getting those 30 frames or less, and it was pretty tough. But once I got the new PC, I started actually improving at the game. I got somewhat better. And finally, I got to the point where I felt, you know what, let's try comp. Played on a couple, you know, really low T5 teams. Quit those and eventually met May. He and I, we worked together on a team for a while, and he was the original founder, and him and I worked and building it up and trying to do qualifiers. It's kind of funny. We actually got picked up by Emergence.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Me and Ferme, we were the reason that Emergence is in R6 now, which is kind of funny, but, those are the days of the past. But in any case, he left to go be a coach. I left to go play for a team that shall not be named, but I won a league, got some money, and then SCS took up the rest of my time after that. So
when did you guys, I guess we'll quickly talk a little bit more on that. I'm assuming I think I know what team you want to talk. You're talking about.
Yeah, probably.
I think I know what you're talking about. If you don't want to mention, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'd prefer not to mention it, especially after everything going on. I don't want to be associated. So.
Yeah. So, definitely, you guys were under were with them. What kind of leagues did you guys play in? Do you just T3, T4, or what was that?
Oh, let's see. I played in Infamous League for a while, which was a great time.
Oh God.
Yeah, May can speak on that.
Don't remind me.
We also played in Scenario Tournament.
Oh Jesus Christ!
I know that's the meme. It's the meme. It's just a joke.
Dude, why do you just like do this to me, man?
I know. I'm sorry, but yeah. So we played in Infamous, but after that, pretty much we played a couple qualifiers, and that was when May split off. So he did different stuff at that point, but I continued on, played NACL, not the actual Challenger League, but NA Contender. Yeah. It'd be cool if I made Challenger League, but you know,
I always hear that.
You don't have one XCL, dude. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
People talk about NACL, and I always think, oh wait a minute, is that like real CL? No, it's just it's just contenders.
You gotta always assume that it's never the actual CL.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it was an interesting naming decision from them, but I mean, they still run things pretty all right over there. I have no bad blood. They're one of the better T4 leagues, I would say. So,
So was with those, I guess, let's just say, poorly run leagues. I'm sure not necessarily NACL, as you said, they were okay. But the other ones, was that sort of your inspiration for starting SCS? Was that sort of the reason you guys wanted to start something of a league of your own?
Yeah, that was 100% sort of the reasoning. So I'll sort of start and then May can talk on this a little bit more. But I had originally the server that we now know as the SCS server was originally just a Rainbow Six server for me and my friends, right? Like we would play in there all the time, do ranked or casual or whatever. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what if I make a tournament for all my friends? Like, we'll get a couple teams together. We'll see if we can get some money and make a little prize pool out of it. So I did. I made an 8-team bracket, and it was legitimately just me and one of my old friends, Victor, who now doesn't play Siege anymore. But me and him sort of ran the whole entire thing. I streamed it to my personal Twitch. We had 8 teams of mainly randoms. Ferme actually played in it. So it was kind of funny. He's a one-time SCS champ.
Oh, baby.
Which is cool.
Put that in the bio.
Exactly. But I had originally started it then. We ran it. It was pretty awesome. Motivation for me was that, you know, I thought it ran a lot better than the things that I had played in. So I wanted to do it again, right? So I started the planning for season 2, and that's when I brought May in. And I'll let him sort of take over from there, like once we started season 2.
I mean, season 2 was all right. We had, I'm just gonna multitask, if you don't mind. Season 2 was all right, in my opinion. It was just experimental. We introduced multiple days. We had a 3-day tournament going on, still single elimination. I mean, there's not much to talk about it. It was such a long time ago.
What were the main changes? From season 2 to season 3, I guess.
I know season 3 overhaul. Was it's a complete overhaul. That was just it's completely different because the season 2, I guess, if you want to put a quotation marks, that's a single elimination tournament, and season 3 is actually like league.
Oh, okay.
It's complete overhaul. There's pretty much because season 3 was run by Nash, Rajal, me and Victor, and season 3 is Victor departed, and there was me, Galaxus, Rigel, and Chief. Was the one of the original ones, and he brought in a couple of casters to cast our games as well.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear more about Chief, we talked to him on episode 1. We talked with him, interviewed him.
I talked to him way more than you have.
Like, talking to the audience for me.
He was talking to the audience, man. Damn, you didn't have to ego him like that. Yeah.
Ratioed on the podcast.
Another, a ratio on your
I don't want to talk to Chief. I don't want to talk to Chief. I talk to him every day. I don't want to talk to him more.
Damn, Chief, you heard it here first, man. May and
he's sick of you.
One X Eagle by Mate.
Oh my god, that's like the tweet that went out the other day that I think it was either you or C-Daps about like what happens in SCS on the daily, and it's C-Daps being like, try not to make May angry on the analyst desk.
Oh god.
Yeah.
So yeah, personally for us at Synthetic, I heard about SCS. If you want to hear more about my comp career, I'm going to talk to the audience again here for a minute, just so you're aware. I talk about my comp career in episode one. I came into comp in May, and May 2020. I personally never heard of SCS until I talked to, you guys know Fig, I'm assuming, from Yipfop, yeah. Synthetic. So he reached out to me when we were looking to pick up a new seed roster. He reached out to me on Twitter, and he told me that they were in SCS. So I had a bunch of teams reaching out to me, but the vast majority of them weren't in any leagues. So then I heard about Yep Floppa. If you guys want to talk a little bit about them and their backstory in SCS and like who they were, because I know they did have a little bit of an origin story, a little bit of a place in SCS Season 3, and then they kind of evolved into Synthetic. So if you guys want to quickly talk about them and their quals, I don't really know too much about their old roster, but all I know is they didn't have an IGL. Or something like that.
Yeah. So the old Yep Floppa roster was Salt, Prime, Shiver, Fig, and Ari.
Mm-hmm.
And those five had stuck with it from a couple of them actually were in season two under FMG, I believe. They sort of transitioned into Yep Floppa for season three because they parted ways with a couple of their players. And I mean, they had a pretty all right season. The beginning of their season was a little rough, lost a couple games, but then once you guys picked them up and they started getting a lot more organized, they were still in 10th, but they picked up a couple wins and ties. Their round differential was looking pretty solid.
After they picked up Crafty, we picked them up. I think that was kind of the turning point.
Yeah.
I would say it helped a lot. And then they started to make better roster changes. Now they're, got a coach handle the stuff, work on that. What was your, if you had to go back in time, I guess, and change one thing from SCS, from maybe season two, season three, there's like one major change, what would that be? Maybe a tough question.
May, what do you think, man? I'll let you answer first.
So can you elaborate more on the question?
So let's say you could go back in time to season three and change something at all from the season, like a format or something like that that had a major impact on SCS, maybe graphics, I don't know, anything, like literally anything about SCS, if you go back in time and change it.
I mean, it's kind of a little bit out of the box question. It's really hard to pinpoint it, but what I think in general, I don't want to focus too much on the past. Like, I don't really care much about, you know, because you can't really change the past. I worry about the future. Like if I can change something right now, or if I can change something about season five, I will. So like, I don't know if I can paraphrase a question. It's like, you know, what happens already happened. I can't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with how everything turned out, and I can't really, you know, pinpoint a thing. Oh yeah, I would go back and change this, because you know, it's, SCS is a path of natural evolution, right? It just like, we just slowly evolved, and it's good that we started where we did, and I'm happy with our progression through, you know, T4, getting into T3, and just picking up all the stuff gradually. I believe everything happened for a reason, and you know, if I were to add or like change something, I don't know if we would have been here.
Yeah, that's
so totally fair. I'm really happy with our journey.
Rigel's at your stance as well?
I mean, it's pretty much my stance, I'm not gonna lie. It's been a great run so far. I mean, everything that we've done in the past has helped us to learn and move forward. So, you know, like May said, the reason we're here today is because of everything that we did in the past and sort of what we learned from both ourselves and from other leagues doing things. The only thing that I can really say, I guess, would be we currently have the forfeit rule, basically, where you can't forfeit more than once in the season, otherwise you sort of disqualify yourself for the most part. That would have been helpful to have in the previous season, because we had a team that just, you know, continually forfeited their games, and I feel like there were a lot other teams at that point that, you know, would have wanted to have that spot a lot more and would have put a lot more effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing, but I mean, I love pretty much every team from from season three. I mean, season four, I'm loving the community that we've got. We've really sort of built that up to be, you know, the community hub of T3. Like, there's a bunch of other leagues out there that do an amazing job, like RSA. We're seeing SCL come back, so I hope they do really well. CCS is back, which is huge. I mean, it's great to see them in the scene again. But, you know, out of all of those, I think SCS is the one that's building the most, you know, memorable connections and community. I mean, all these players know each other, all these teams know each other, and, you know, go and play ranked with each other after the game sometimes, yeah, or whatever it might be. Like, you they know, all hang out. So,
and for me, building a strong community is probably the most important thing.
Exactly.
You can see that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's just, to me, every single, like, you know, as a comp player, that was like my main thing, is I played in the leagues, I coached a team, and it felt like no matter which league I joined, I was just a string of characters on paper. I meant, can I swear on the podcast? I meant fuck all to any of these admins.
Yeah.
Me being in that league meant fuck all. All right. And I felt like they just treated me and treated my team like we are there. We're in the league because, like, we want to be there, and, like, there's no other options. And guess what? We can treat you like shit. You know, you're nothing but just a number, and you just play in our league because you want to find a league to play in. And to me, that is completely baffling. T4 and T3 communities are built upon the community itself, right? T2 is gonna be T2 no matter what, right? Challenger League is gonna be there because people will go for Challenger League to make it to PL or to, you know, pursue professional career. So that market will always be saturated. But T4 and T3 is really built on the community itself. So building a very strong foundation is very important because, like, to me, all these players, I know all of them personally. There's rarely a person who I haven't talked to, because to me, all these players mean, like, they mean everything to me, because without them, without these teams, without these players, there's no SCS. These players are not just a name on a piece of paper, not just a name on a player index. They're genuine players who I enjoy talking to. I am happy to, you know, join any voice call and have a chat with them, because I was in their shoes before, and I want to provide this genuine community experience to every single one of them, because I didn't have that. I was treated like a number on a piece of paper, and I want to change that just mentality about competitive Siege and competitive communities, because and also that brings people together, that brings all the teams closer together. Because if you just see each other as numbers on a piece of paper, you know, it means nothing to these people. They were gonna insult, they're gonna bring people down, but we have such a friendly community because we all know each other outside this competition. Sure, on the game day, you can pull out, you know, a little bit of toxicity and trying to get to the mental, but on the outside of game day, I believe everyone is genuinely, you know, like likes one another in our community.
Yeah, so it's all love. And you can see that reflected on Twitter. You can see that reflected on your Twitch viewership. You guys are pulling on Twitch. What's your peak viewership the other day?
I think 220.
227, actually.
You're getting like three times every other T3 league out there right now. It's insane how many viewers you guys are pulling. And then the interactions on Twitter, just like the community in general, like you said, just building that strong community. And that's, you guys are definitely going in the right direction 100%.
I mean, especially for me, like, I'm, you know, the owner of an org that plays in your league, but, like, to me, I've been playing Siege forever, but I never, like, I've always been, like, a casual, like, to play ranked with my friends kind of player, never comp-oriented, but, you know, with COVID, I was, like, I want to do something with all this free time I have outside of work and stuff since I can't do anything, so, you know, why not start an org? And then, you know, a bunch of mess happened and I met AJ and we started Synthetic, and then, you know, I knew nothing of Siege, but then, you know, we pick up the Yep Flopper roster, and then we join, we're a part of SCS, and, like, you know, I don't interact with you guys as much as like everybody else, but like all I see is like I'll watch other streams of like RSA and all the other ones. Like, you don't get that same feeling of like, I know the casters, I know all the staff, even if I don't know them, because your personalities really shine and show through in the SES. And I think that's why, you know, everybody like keeps on praising you guys for all the great work you do.
Very warm and almost a family feeling, I would say, whenever we watch the streams, just compared to those other leagues. Like, I always feel like, oh, yeah, great, it's Chief again, and I get to talk to him. I'll be in Twitch chat, and he'll talk to me directly or something, or, like, make a joke about me or something, or he'll make a joke about another player. It just, it's a very, I guess, not necessarily intimate, but just a nice connection to the SCS and to the casters and to the desks, everything. It's just, it all wraps around nicely full circle and allows everyone involved to just be very happy, and you can see that with your with the sponsors you guys picked up, with the viewers you guys picked up, and just different things like that.
I'm really happy it's going that direction. I'm really happy about it. I'm just thankful to the community, because without them it's not possible.
Yeah,
so, I've got to echo that for sure. I mean, everywhere we've come, like, it's been thanks to the community. Like, it could have been so easy at the beginning of season 3, where basically nobody knew us, you know, for nobody to sign up to like qualify, and, you know, no one to take the league seriously or anything like that. But now, like, we've built up that community. Everyone sort of knows who we are and like what we stand for. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, we're just going to continue growing. Like, we have people from all over that are invested in you know, wanting to do SCS now. It's actually nuts to me to like go into a game in Rainbow Six in May. I'm sure can get the same thing, but it's nuts to go into a game of Siege and have some random person notice you on the other team and be like, yo, you're from SCS, like, what the heck. It's crazy to see that.
I usually just ego them, but
no mercy. I'm like, from Fergie.
I'll be like who are you?
Who?
Damn. See, this is why I'm PR and why May is the brains guy.
Yeah. So then, I guess if you guys are allowed to talk, or if you want to talk about it, maybe we could talk briefly about Faceit and HyperX. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really sensitive. It's like all out there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you guys want to talk about stuff like that.
Faceit reached out to us first.
Really?
They were looking for communities to expand to, basically allow us to use their platform for Rainbow Six Siege, because before FPL was released to the public, they were looking for potential opportunities to bring in more people with established communities already there, which is a good idea. And they offered us to use the platform, which we decided to use for daily tournaments. However, with the introduction of FPL, all the attention was really moved to the FPL scene of Faceit. So not really, people weren't interested in participating in our small event when there's Faceit FPL. You know, you can actually climb the ELO bracket and, you know, get to Faceit Pro League, you know what I mean? So that's at least with Faceit. We're planning to use our Faceit partnership most likely when we expand to different games. And different games, most likely it's gonna be CS or COD. We're gonna look into it.
Please, COD, bro.
We just picked up a COD team, so I mean.
Oh yeah. Well, it's right now we're just really focused on season 5, and we're really expanding our Rainbow Six Siege. So it's just something we're thinking. Like, this is not, like, we're keeping that Faceit partnership in place, and we're gonna utilize it in some shape or form. Yeah. But so literally just. It's just HyperX, dude. We love the products. We reached out to them, and they offered us sponsorship and goodies for giveaways, and we're really happy that they reached out back, and they really made us, you know. The thing is, they really made us happy, because SCS is a volunteer-run organization. We have not made a single dime out of running SCS.
Yeah.
And for our casters, like, when I bring a caster on board, when I bring a person on board, I directly tell them, it's like, hey, yeah, I just want to be as transparent as possible. We have not made a single penny, not even me. You'd think I would make money out of it. No, I don't make like a single cent. All it is just investment. And for HyperX to provide us with over $3,000 worth of equipment to at least compensate my casters in some form, that was huge. That was complete breakthrough, because That was my way, and this is Rajo's way of saying thank you to everyone who gambled on us, because, you know, for casters, for anyone who joins SCS, especially in the early days, that was a big gamble. You know, we had big views, we had huge ambitions, and it's a gamble for a caster or a person in administration to join us and pretty much think, you know what, like, I don't know how far this is going to go, but I'm willing to invest my time and volunteer for you guys. And that was the way of kind of compensating for it. And I really hope that we can secure more monetary sponsors, because you know, as much as like right now we're okay surviving on a volunteer basis, there's also a fact of burnout, especially for me, especially for Rigel. It's like I don't know how long I can keep up to this busy schedule without like this being my full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now I've been living, breathing, sleeping, and eating, and just being SCS for the past 5 months. I have not existed outside of SCS since July. This has been my life. Everything that I've done just directly involves SCS. I've not done anything else. And I'm glad it came to where it be. I'm seeing that kind of the hard work pays off, and I can't wait to, you know, see how far we can push it.
Well, you can see the passion in your work, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
All of the graphics are crazy, especially for, I don't know what experience you have outside of this STS with graphics, but if you're just learning this yourself, like, it's absolutely insane. All the new things.
I learned all the graphics myself, all the streaming, kind of
that
self.
That music is crazy good too. I thought that was like professionally produced, and then somebody told me you did, and I was like, what the hell?
It's professionally produced.
I am a professional producer after all, but yeah, I wrote all the music too. It's because I didn't want to deal with so the thing about SCS, I like to call it very organic. Like, that mm-hmm. is a very good way to describe what we make here, is that everything that we do here, it's like you can almost touch it. Like, that's how organic we are.
It's not,
I guess,
like, corporate, I guess you could say. Like, it feels very homemade almost.
Yes.
In a good way.
That's what I wanted to be. Like, all the music, like, I write it because I want it to feel very, like really up close to you. Mm-hmm. Because you know that, oh, Fermé wrote the music. Well, you're literally talking to the guy who wrote it. Like, it's not some random weird producer.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's not some, like, non-copyright music on YouTube or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just literally me. You can just talk to me. It's like, hey, yeah, I really, if you want to talk to me about the music, I will definitely discuss it with you. I like doing what I do, and the SCS has been one of the outlets for, you know, my creative passion, because, like, I had a slump of music writing, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I hit this moment of my life where nothing really worked for me. Like, I couldn't write anything. And then when I thought, hey, SCS will probably need soundtrack, I said, you know what, I'm gonna stay up, and within 6 hours I wrote our theme song, which was played like throughout the whole season 3.
I can hear it in my head right now. It's very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, well, it's almost became like a signature of SCS, like that motif with the cello. Like, that
yeah,
is just
so good.
Something that just kind of defines us, what we are, and now it's our background for the casters. I'm really proud of that soundtrack. I'm really proud of that one. The new menu music, the concert remix, that was a long time in the making, and I just kind of sat down and 4 hours I finished it on stream. Actually, I stream as well on Twitch. I stream pretty rarely, but when I do, it's pretty fun.
Drop the at.
Dude, at @fer_may _may. Dude,
check him out. We'll put all the links and stuff in the notes of the podcast.
Dude, let's go. I don't stream frequently, but when I do, it's a show. I put on a full show for people. It's
entertaining.
Fun. Yeah, dude. I play piano as well for people. It's so chill. We're chilling.
I love to learn how to play the piano. I've been thinking about trying to learn for a long time, but I'm lazy.
I used to be able to play the cello. That was in, like, high school.
Dude, I wish I had more time to devote to music again, because, like, I'd been playing saxophone for like 12 years, through college and stuff like that, but I just, like, this year with COVID and everything, it's been a hellhole, and I haven't been able to do anything pretty much, like, and, you know, that's the sad part too. Like, Ferme, luckily, is for the most part, like, out of college, and he's got his stuff pretty much figured out, but for me, like, I'm trying to balance, like, college as well, so, like, I wish I had more time to devote to, like, everything, including more, like, SCS and being around more, but, yeah, it's been interesting, but we're getting there for sure, so.
Definitely. So, do you guys... I know HyperX and Faceit are very public. That's very well known. Do you guys have any other people, sponsors working with you or anything in the making that you can tell me maybe off podcast?
I'll talk about it. I've been trying to reach out to people. I'm not going to lie. It's been a battle right now of me just basically cold calling a whole bunch of people, trying to find somebody that is willing to help sponsor. A lot of times it's businesses that don't even like write back, you know, it's a lot of things where people just aren't checking notes or whatever it might be. But, you know, I'm hoping somebody will actually pick that up because it'd be amazing. It would help out so much because right now, obviously the prize pool is drawn from just the, you know, team registrations and things like that. And, with the way that we're planning to do the qualifiers this year, you know, it'll probably have to be about the same sort of prize pool. But, you know, we're hoping that we can actually increase that and that we have a monetary sponsor for season 5 that'll come in and do that. But we do have a couple, like, affiliates as well. So, like, CLXPC, we're in an affiliate program with them. So if anybody buys a computer, we get a little bit from that, which is helpful. And let's see. Drip Sector as well for the merch.
Oh, man, their merch is amazing.
It's fire.
It's so good. It's massive. I genuinely love that. Whatever material they make it out of, I genuinely love it. Like, I wear that merch, like, unironically.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just wear it because, you know, it's merch, but, like, I genuinely love it. I genuinely love the hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, flag is hanging on the wall. Like, it's amazing.
That's the one thing from an org perspective is apparel company. That's a big thing for us. We're not working with anyone right now. We haven't decided.
I love Drip Sector. Drip Sector has been nothing but nice to us and the designs they made.
Yeah, they definitely look very good.
They work fast too. Like, I contacted them because I looked on their website and I saw their products that they did and it looked amazing. So I contacted them. We talked it over. We worked out the deal and they said, all right, we'll get working on the designs. And literally 2 days later, they had all the designs pretty much done. We did final revisions and we got it all posted up. Like, it's that fast for the design process and it looks phenomenal. And then same thing too, you know how, like, sometimes with apparel companies, not going to name names as well, but I've been through the ringer where it takes like 3 months.
Dash Threads.
Dash Threads is one that we will name, or I will name, just because we've never worked with them personally. But everyone has said bad things, but other apparel companies as well that I've personally worked with in the past, it takes months to get a simple t-shirt. That's simply not the case. Like, Drip Sector, they'll ship out your order in probably like less than a week. Like, it's absolutely insane. And it comes in, it's like top quality.
That's crazy.
So I'm really happy that we found them. So
yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
And we speak on season 5. This will be aired. So we're recording date right now is the 29th of November, 2020. This should be aired in about a week from now. I can't do math. I think that's like the 6th of December.
Yeah, the 6th.
Yes.
Well, we're going to release the information anyway, so it's not going to be new to the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So season 5 is going to be a little bit different. For the season itself, there's not going to be much difference. However, the qualifier system is going to be slightly adjusted because we looked into player feedback and we wanted to kind of give players a more enjoyable experience during qualifiers and give them a better buck, basically better value. Yeah. So we're going to have 2 open qualifiers and they're going to be unlimited teams. And open qualifiers will be Swiss system, 9 rounds, 3 days. So kind of the same beginning of the 4 qualifiers. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have a select few teams move on to close qualifiers. But then the week after, we're going to have another bracket of open qualifiers. And we're going to have a season pass. So you can buy season pass and participate in both of those qualifiers. So pretty much you pay a set amount of money. And you can participate in both qualifiers, which kind of opens up like you could play tons of Siege. Like even if you don't qualify, you get to participate and potentially get on the cast. Yeah. Of course, so this is actually reaching out to everyone. So whoever wants to personally cast our games, feel free. Like I don't think we kind of want to restrict access to casting the games. Like if there's any freelance casters who want to cast our qualifiers, please reach out to us. I just don't want, like, don't just go off on your own and do it. Please reach out to us because we want to kind of know that you're doing it. But we're going to be very happy if somebody else wants to pick up more games because we will be producing them as well. And we just don't want any conflicts to arise. So we do reserve the right to observe the games we want to observe. But we usually try to observe, like, we don't like to observe the same team twice. We like to give everyone a fair chance at being on our stream. But yeah, so 2 weeks of open qualifiers, and then we have a week of close qualifiers. And close qualifiers is going to be 2 days, and it's going to be a Swiss system. It's not going to be a double elim, because we noticed that by double elim, there's just, there could be a lucky team that maybe is not up to par to the skill level of the rest of the league, and they make it because they're bracket blessed, and some other team who was really good and deserved the spot didn't make it just because of, you know, they weren't as bracket blessed as the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, you know what, Swiss system for both stages is going to be very nice. And you know what, having Swiss system, you get to play a lot. You get to play tons of Siege, tons and tons and tons of Siege. And that's what we want to do. At least, you know, if you're paying money for an entry qualifier, I believe you should get as much entertainment as possible, as much Siege experience as possible. Because, you know, I'm speaking from a mind of a competitive player. You don't do qualifiers only to qualify for the league. You also do qualifiers to figure out where do you land between like all these teams. You know, if you finish qualifier like 40th spot, that means, yeah, there's some fundamental issues that, you know, need to be fixed. But if you made it like 13th and there's 12 entries, that means, yeah, okay, I'm better than most of the teams, but we have certain things to polish. And then you go back into these games and you figure out. Like, qualifiers is like game days. It's just game day, game day, game day, game day, game day. And because people really, they pull out all their strats because they really play to win. This is not a scrim anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't really judge your team experience and your team strength by scrims. Anyone can go like 10 scrims in a row winning. Like anyone can do it. You just look for silver scrims, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But league qualifiers, they're not only you have a chance to qualify for the league, you also get this experience against top tier teams. And as a comp player, I would sign up for any qualifier I could potentially go for, because, you know, I would kill for a chance to play against teams like In Control, Aerial Arise, PogChamp, if I were back in my competitive shoes, because that would really give me a chance to like put myself in a perspective of where do I land between all these teams. Like, can I beat PogChamp? How many rounds can I get away with? Like, sure, I might not beat Aerial Arise, but maybe I took 5 rounds away from them. That gives me good confidence. That means, hey, yeah, this team is very strong. They're in CCS. They're, you know, very, very established. And I was, me with my team of like no names at the moment, we were able to take away 5 rounds from them. So that would, like, that's the reason why we want to kind of expand it to Swiss system instead of double LM, is to give these people a chance to, give all these players a chance to just play their hearts out in Siege. Sure, some people do pose a counter argument. They can say, wow, well, I played for 6 days and I still didn't make it. Well, I'm like, dude,
you see, money's worth.
At least you get money's worth. Oh, I didn't make it. I'm like, well, if you're going into my qualifiers with a, like, with a intent to, like, I don't care, I just want to make it into the league, like, sure. All right, but I want all the players to have, like, a different mindset. I want you to focus on playing, focus on enjoying the game. That's what we're here, right? SCS is about enjoying the game. It's about enjoying the community and enjoying your time here, right? If you're here just to win, sure, but please don't complain to me later that you didn't make the league, because all these other players, all these other teams, they're here because they really enjoy the game. They're, obviously, they have their competitive drive, but they're, after all, they're all here to, like, have the best time. Badly. Have the time of their lives with our league. And that's what I'm happy to provide. I'm happy to provide that entertainment to everyone.
Yeah. So how many teams will be? Will there be
12? Same number.
12 same another?
Okay. Yeah. So for the finalists from season 4, so whoever makes them to the finals, grand finals, they're going to be auto-qualified. They don't need to do anything. They will be automatically moved to season 5. and we're going to have 10 spots, so 10 teams that will be relegated.
Well, any of the playoff teams will be invited to close calls?
Yes, correct. 3 and 4.
3 and 4, yeah.
4, okay.
3 and 4. They will be automatically in close qualifiers. And then, you know, anyone 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they're going to be fully relegated. They will not hold any spots. They will not. And yeah, that's how it is. Of course, some teams may say, like, you know, there's always counter arguments, like, well, we played for such long season and we finished, you know, the spot, and we even don't get a spot. Like, no. With SCS, we believe that after all, you deserve to be here. We don't do invite teams.
Yeah.
We believe that if you make it to SCS, you completely deserve to be here. We don't just look at the team and say, well, we want to invite you because you'll bring us viewers. No. I want, like, our community is very grown very organically, right? That's the word that I'm gonna say a lot. I don't chase viewership. Like, I'm more than grateful when people watch us. I'm super, like, you don't know what's going on behind the screen, but every time I see our viewership just, you know, rise and rise and rise every minute, that really makes me happy, because I see that our hard work paying off.
Yeah.
And if people want to watch us, I'm more than thankful for it. But we're not here to, I guess, like bring teams just because they're good. Like, if teams are good, they will make it. We have almost, like, if PogChamp, if Aerial Rise wants to join us in season 5, they're more than welcome to. But they don't get any special treatment, because they will, if they're good, they will make it, because they deserve to be here.
Exactly.
They will absolutely. What's up? Go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I was just gonna say that's why the qualifiers are so, quote unquote, like, long compared to other qualifiers. It's just because, you know, we want teams to get that fair shot, so that they can't say that, oh, we just had a bad game, that's why we didn't make it. Like, no, you have 9 rounds to be able to make a difference. Like, you can get into the top 10 of each open qualifier, whatever works. But yeah, I mean the viewership question there that you guys were talking about, that May was talking about, that's another one of the reasons. You know, or another one of the reasons that you see other leagues start is simply to get that notoriety and get the viewership. Whereas, you know, SCS, we started it with the idea of, we're just going to provide the best environment for the players. Like, if we don't get any viewers, that's okay to me, you know, because we're still providing a really phenomenal league. We've got the best rule book, arguably, in the entirety of, you know, I'd even say all of Cedro mode, you know,
I'd say T3, like,
it's still really solid. It's still really solid. But in any case, yeah, we've got the great rule book that protects the players. You know, we wrote it from an X comp standpoint. So we have situations in there so that you can understand what the rules are. And it's not just like arbitrary words, which is phenomenal. I mean, already we talked about the community, which is insane. But you know, we're going to be there to put on the best league for the players, no matter what. And I mean, the viewership is amazing. Like, I do get excited about it. Like May was talking about, like, when it hit 220 the other day, I freaked out, because, you know, this is something that we've been working on for a while. And to see it hit that, it's more of just an affirmation that we're doing something right, more than what we were trying to do. Because, you know, other leagues that, you know, go after the viewers, or other leagues that don't really write a strong rule book or don't focus on the community, you know, we're hoping that we can set the example for them that maybe they need to start doing these things, because it'll overall increase what R6 esports is going to look like over the next couple of years here. Because we're at that critical point, honestly, where, you know, if T3 doesn't sort of start adapting, then, you know, there's not going to be players to feed into Challenger League eventually, you know? Yeah. So we gotta keep the torch going, almost. And I think we're doing that. We're definitely innovating what needs to be done. And other people have sort of noticed that and are starting to follow in our footsteps. So
I would definitely love to see Ubisoft become a little bit more involved in the T3 scene personally. Just kind of, I mean, I know they kind of do stuff with CCS. So correct me if I'm wrong. I think they endorse CCS. Maybe
something like that.
They did the tournament, I think, the one that they had the charity stream. I think that was endorsed with Ubisoft, but nothing else at the moment.
Yeah, but I would definitely love to see them more involved.
Kind of give you perspective on things. So with SCS, we have zero production budget. Web Zero, like, we don't make money out of it. And I only invested only my money. So I just want to let you know that, all the viewers, that this is what we can do without budget. Imagine what I could do. Imagine what kind of vision we could have had, and we could have, with a budget, if there was just some monetary sponsor. We would be the most revolutionary. I will absolutely say we'll be the most revolutionary production standpoint, like league production standpoint. Yeah. I could easily rival high tier events, and it's only potential with the help of any sponsors who are willing to invest their monetary. It's tough without a sponsor, because all it is just my money, and I'm taking a big gamble here, right? And I don't know how long I can last, because season 5 is definitely going to happen, right? But I don't know if it can last for season 6, you know, if I don't have a sponsor.
Have you guys ever thought of doing like a GoFundMe to see, like, rally the community?
I think that would go against GoFundMe TOS, because technically it's not going towards, like, I'm not sure. Patreon, maybe.
Exactly. So here's the thing. We have that in the works. Right now we're just really focused on season 4, but during the break, because we are taking a break in 3 weeks, for holidays, and we pick it back up, you know, second week of January, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we could also look at that perspective, because we really need to look into having an actual budget, because I really want to pay my casters. I really do. Like, as much, like, I only casters know. Like, my casters are absolutely amazing. They're here because they really enjoy the atmosphere, and I couldn't be more thankful for that, because, again, they're investing their time, they're investing their energy, and they don't expect anything in return. And I had this big conversation with everyone, and 30 out of 30 people, they decided to stay. They said, you know what, we're here for the ride because we really enjoy what you guys are doing, and I don't care if I get paid. And honestly, when everyone stayed after that conversation, that really what made me happy is just, not only we're building the community of players, we're also building the community of the staff.
Oh yeah.
And they believe in us. My staff believes in me. My staff believes in Rigel. My staff believes in the idea of SCS, the idea of a community built for the growth of both the players and the staff.
Definitely. That's 100% something I respect from an org perspective, from a personally, like, a humane perspective, I guess you could say. Like, just building that community and having that connection to your staff is so important in business. And it's you can see it, like I've said before, you can see it in the streams, you can see it on Twitter, you can see it everywhere. The community that SCS is building is, quite frankly, just amazing. So I could 100% respect to you guys for that and keeping it up. I really hope any potential sponsors that are watching us, I don't know if there will be any, but reach out to Fermi, reach out to Rigel. These guys are doing something amazing, and I would definitely love to see season 6, season 7, season 8, and just whatever it evolves into. I definitely want to see. So reach out to them, get something worked out, call Rigel back, and
please
send him an email. Don't send him a robot.
Yeah, exactly. No automated responses. They need real humans.
Just call me on Discord, be like, hey Fermi, what's up? I'll be like,
for me, what,
trust me, you'll, I won't get egoed. No, trust me, you won't get egoed. That was a joke. Okay, I don't ego players. I'm more than happy when people recognize me. It's and again, it's just about the community we're building. Like, when people recognize me, I'm like, hey, I'm glad you know me, because, you know, it really warms my heart. Because it's not what I'm looking for, but if people recognize me, it's very nice.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, like, people know of me, and I'm like, whoa, okay, well, apparently people know me. Apparently that's a thing.
I'm known now.
Yeah.
Who?
Not me.
Yeah, who? Ratio for made.scs, who?
Honestly. Damn.
So yeah, it was great talking to you guys about SCS. If you want to quickly talk about outside of esports, what you do for a living, what you enjoy doing outside of esports, or may start with you, because you're first on the Discord call.
Sure. So I'm a professional poker dealer. And
hold up, wait, is that serious?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude, I throw cards at people for money. Okay. Dude, and I move people's money for money. I am a pro poker dealer, dude. Okay. I work at the casino.
That's actually so cool.
I work at the casino, dude.
Wait, is he serious, Rigel? Is he serious?
Yeah, he's done it over Discord before for us.
I thought you were a music producer.
Well, I do that, dude. Like, you can't really produce, like, nowadays, you can't really do that, like, full time, unless you're booming. Just the cloud out of hell.
Unless you're John Williams, like.
Yeah, I mean, I write music. I mean, I want to transition more to, like, audio work, but, like, casino paid pretty well, and I really enjoyed the job, and all my friends were there. Like, I had a lot of friends at the casino, just now we're all closed down because of COVID.
That's tough.
Yeah, so I dealt the casino. I mean, I produce music too, but it's just not my primary source of income. Casino was pretty fun. At the casino, I learned a lot of important skills that are actually come in pretty handy when managing SCS, because especially the conflict resolution skills, because I'm kind of also the primary admin. I deal with all the protests, and I'm kind of knowing how to explain situation, know how to talk to people, is comes in pretty clutch, you know.
Yeah. Definitely good. What about you, Rigel? What do you do aside of
esports? Yeah, so right now I'm a full-time college student. I'm studying psychology. I'm going to graduate this May, actually, with my bachelor's of science.
Great.
Which is exciting. I can't wait to be done, not going to lie. But outside of that, I play paintball every so often, but right now it's just been, you know, with COVID stuff, it's been hard to get out and do that. Obviously, the gaming part is pretty big. I work for my college as well. I do a lot of, like, admissions things there. So I've actually traveled around the U.S. back when it was open, and gone and talked to prospective students and things like that, which is really cool. And eventually, once I'm graduated and everything like that, I'm going into the Navy, actually. And I have an aviation slot, so I'm going to go and train and be a pilot. And hopefully, I'll be flying F-18s here in about 2 years, which would be pretty awesome. So,
get sponsored by the U.S. Navy. I know they do that.
I might actually reach out, but then, I mean, then we'd have everybody come into the chat and trolling like we did during the show match for season 3. That'd be kind of interesting. So,
oh my god, that was so funny.
I had to mute so many people that stream. Holy,
hey, what happened?
We had the Army versus the Air Force, and there were a bunch of people making the.
Nice. So, anyways, it was great having you guys on today. Very insightful into SCS, into yourselves as league directors, as people. Any closing remarks from you guys? Any shout outs? Go follow me on Twitter.
I'll definitely start with just the league in general. If you want to check out the Twitch, if you haven't already seen it, definitely look it up on Twitch, SCS_TV. Definitely give us a follow there. Watch some of the streams. You'll get to see what May is doing for T3C. Just really awesome. Our Twitter as well, SCS_esports. That's going to be where all of our news comes out. And by now you will have heard about the season 5 information, but any other announcements are going to be there. And if you're looking to want to potentially sponsor SCS, please reach out, or even just, you know, help out personally with, you know, like any sort of donation or anything like that would be very much appreciated at this point, because my goal is that for this next season, not only are we going to be able to pay our staff completely and turn it from a volunteer to a paid position, but we're also going to be able to elevate the production even more and raise the prize pool potentially by a couple thousand. Like that is my absolute dream right now. So let's make that happen. I want to grow SCS even more. So. Definitely. That's really pretty much my plug. So,
yeah.
My plug is going to be a little bit longer. I'd say I just wanted to kind of reach out and say thanks to all our staff. I want to say thanks to Chief for being here since day one and believing that we can achieve great things. Slayzilla joined us shortly after, I believe it was week 4, and he was really fascinated by what we had here. And he was really enthusiastic when he joined us, and that really made me more passionate about what we've done. Santos, actually, Santos casts. He's a caster that I believe I picked him up from Vendetta League. Again, absolutely, I love his drive. Really passionate guy. I really enjoy seeing him cast. Oh my goodness, C-Daps, Connor, Poggy Woggies, that guy, holy shit, so funny, dude. He's actually like one of the funniest guys I enjoy like spending time with, and he's a brilliant caster. Really thankful for him to join for join us too. Blue Panda, the caster, all the way from New Zealand, again, a really passionate guy who just wants to he just likes casting. Like, his availability this week is all green for all 5 days. He's willing to spend time with us, and I couldn't be more thankful for him. Lytros, another caster who's just really, really great. I enjoy every single time they're on desk or in casting. It's enjoyable time. Again, big props to Stikula. That man's been here with us. He hasn't casted as much as other people, but he definitely had a lot of other type of influence outside of casting, especially because he likes to have a little bit more involvement on the administration side of things. And again, I is a really talented caster, amazing guy. And Keglenek, you know him from CCS Desk Host, and he's done more events than just Siege. Absolutely marvelous guy to hang around. Brilliant caster too. Artis, from all the way from Hawaii. Very passionate caster. You can hear it in his voice. He's really hyping things up. We actually had to tone him down a little bit because it was like, hey man, it's just a kill. Don't it's okay, man. He's always so passionate about the game. It's just really love to see his energy come out. Special thanks to Jazzman casts. Oh my goodness. The first time I heard him cast, I was just mind blown about just the potential of this guy. Again, he's only 17 years old, and the moment he turns 18, I see him making it all the way to CL, because, you know, it feels like he started casting with his friends, Crow, Lynx, and now they're moving up to tier 2 level. They're moving to CL, and he's kind of just kind of stuck in T3 just because of his age, but oh my god, his skill is unparalleled. Uzumaki from T2CL joined us as well. I'm really glad he did. I haven't got much time to hang out with him, but he's been interesting personality. I wanted to see him cast more, honestly. Probably the most recent addition to the casting lineup was Jace Wills. He came, I believe, from Collegiate Series, and Chief, I believe, brought him on. And I believe he's casting the CCS event right now with Stikula, and yeah, that guy is, yeah, and that guy, oh my goodness, just the energy and the passion in his voice. Absolutely, I adore it. Jenna Giraffro joined us, I believe, about 2 weeks ago, and probably the most involved for the time period that she's been in here. It's just she wants to do so many things, and I love when people just come in with a passion and want to help us out, because there's only so many things I can do, and when I can hear people bounce off ideas and tell me, hey, yeah, this is like a different perspective on things, I definitely appreciate that. I may be skipping a couple of people, but here we go. Pond, man, you've been here with us since day one of season 3, having so much influence. You've been a caster, you've been an analyst for the longest time. We've been working together for so long. I'm just really thankful for you to be here still, because I know you were considering to leave based on your schedule, but you decided to otherwise stay, and I'm just really thankful that you did. Smit, he's now an analyst for Ape, and I couldn't be more happy for him, because he's been here with us halfway through season 3, but he has had tons of influence throughout his time. It's just the way he analyzes the games, the way he brings a next level dimension to analysis of games. It's just when he speaks, you feel like, yeah, he knows what we don't know. He sees what we don't see. And the fact that he's here with us, I couldn't be more grateful. Putin actually joined us. I believe he has moved from ESA to work with us. Definitely, again, very passionate guy, wants to do more things. Right now, he's going through a little bit of a rough period, so he wasn't be able to show up on stream. But when he does show up on stream, it's really fun to see him analyze games as well. The boy Al, he is currently not doing all too well, so I hope you guys are sending him, good thoughts. because he, I don't want to get into too many thing, too many personal details, but he's been going through a lot of, you know, kind of mental health problems, and he's on a recovery stage. So I'm really glad, and I really hope to see Al back here with us casting and doing desk. That kid has so much passion in his eyes, and I really hope to have him back because he's been out for the past 2 months. For our observers, honestly, Bean, Forrest, you've been here since season 3. I believe Chief brought you on, and you started from pretty much like no-name leagues, and you grew up to be one of the most... You pretty much have one of the highest seniorities at SES, and you've been observing with us for the longest time. Right now, his GPU is kind of busted, so he can't observe, but... again, all the time that he's dedicated to SES is, I can't think of any other person who would have done that. Andrew, brilliant observer, again joined us, maybe closer to the end of season 3. Loving his observing, honestly, such a fantastic kid to hang around. Very funny. I enjoy his company a lot. Tango Mango Down. He's observed for us a couple of times, but he's the primary, I believe. He was one of the admins for the collegiate, and he observes and produces collegiate R6. He's one of the big guys there, I guess, if you want to call it. I'm not quite sure about his exact position there, but he's also a very talented guy, and he's helped us out a lot. Honestly, but sure, this is our desk talent, but I want to give special shout-outs to our statistics talent as well. Grixer, Azul, Redpool, Sleepy, all you guys who sit on the back lines and crunch those number statistics, I'm so thankful for you guys, because we are able to elevate our production experience to like a whole new level. That way our statistics are done right after the game, and we can pump out these graphics, and we can provide this up-to-date statistics for all these teams. And without them, that would not have been possible. And I'm just really thankful for them for being here and doing things with us. And again, I named most of the people who've contributed, and obviously Rigel. Again, I don't think I need to say anything about Rigel, because we've been here since the very beginning, and you know, it's been a ride. it's been quite a wild ride, and I'm enjoying every last bit of it. So. I know it's been a little bit of an extended shout out, but I believe everyone who dedicates their time deserves to have their spot in the air. So
definitely,
that is my kind of stance on it.
Really appreciate that, and like you said, it's a wild ride. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just gonna say, I definitely double what Ferme said. I didn't know how much time we had, and he just sent it. So I mean, I definitely echo that. So, but I love our staff. But
yeah, without your staff, we wouldn't have the 0.4 hazmat meme. So you know.
Oh my god. I think without hazmat we wouldn't have the 0.4 hazmat meme.
I mean,
so keep it you.
Dude, but, hazmat is not down bad anymore, dude.
Hazmat, if you're like watching, go positive, bro. Please.
Yeah. Dude. He's bringing it back, dude.
Hey, he is. No, it's getting there. Dude. It's getting there.
Yeah, slowly but surely. He's
trying to save that team.
Hey, it's working, bro. we're gonna friggin' place finalists and get in the spot next season. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it now.
We're gonna win this, yes.
Don't clip this and put it on Twitter and pin it somewhere, because then I'm gonna get called out when we.
You're gonna get ratioed as always.
Yeah, ratioed, man. It's whatever.
Yeah, but his stats are killing it though.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys very much for coming on the Simulation Podcast. We'll be back. This is our second episode now. It's recorded in advance, but it will be released on December 6th, which is when you're hearing this right now. And thank you very much to Ferme and Rigel for coming aboard to the podcast and talking to us about SES, about themselves. Any links that we talked about here, any of their socials, SES socials, will be in the notes of the podcast. And thank you guys very much for coming on. Have a great night or day.
Oh, thanks for morning. It's morning. Thanks for having us so much. We're glad to talk about SES. We're really happy where we've made it, and more than happy to discuss more things if you know somebody else wants to bring us onto their podcast. So definitely. That's all for me. Thanks so much.
Thank you.